Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I am the founder of Gear Media Studios, a full-service podcast studio.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with entrepreneurs and celebrities who tell their stories about their business journey and also share helpful insights about the successes that they've had.
And now we were on to Kurt, who has been waiting here patiently. Kurt Moore is building a moat around your home title. So think of your home as a castle. Every person's home is their castle, and there's a moat around it so nobody can come and steal your home. So his company, Moat Title Security, uses legal innovations to freeze out fraud before it starts. This sounds pretty cool because I've always had title problems. Anytime we've done real estate, there seems to have been some weird title thing. So tell us, hi, Kurt, tell us how you operate and what you do.
Sure. Well, thanks again for having me. I really appreciate it. What Moat Title Security does and how it's designed is to use legal documents that we've built and copyrighted to place those in the public records to protect people from title fraud and from squatters. So we've built a what we call a notice of title freeze, which essentially works like a credit freeze. If you're familiar with that, it essentially would say, hey, look, my name's Kurt Moore. I own this property. I don't have any intent of selling it or putting a mortgage on it or really doing anything to affect the title. So I'm just going to freeze my title. And I'm going to place that notice of title freeze in the public records and let the public know that that's my intent for my property going forward. If I want to transact, such as sell my property or take out a new mortgage or a second mortgage, I'm going to need to release this title freeze to allow that to happen. And if I don't do that, something gets recorded. That happened against my will, and that is to be presumed fraudulent. So the intent of a notice of title freeze is twofold. One, it would deter a potential attack. If you think of someone considering attacking my personal property, they're going to research the public records and learn what they need to know to prepare that attack. And they're more than likely, if they're good at what they're doing when they're researching, they're going to bump into that notice of title freeze. And they're going to say, now, what's that? It kind of seems like this guy's paired and defensive of exactly what I'm trying to do. Probably they're going to move off and go attack somebody else. So the first line of defense is deterrent. If they do make an attack, our document is designed to provide valuable evidence to the courts of law to say, hey, look, exactly what I just said. I had no intent to sell my property. I had no intent to place a mortgage on my property. There's very clear instructions in that notice of title freeze for how those things could happen. And they didn't happen. And I'm claiming that this recording, this conveyance is fraudulent. And it lines up with exactly what I've trying to prevent when I froze my title. So
Kurt, let me ask you just to interrupt here for a second.
Sure.
Is title fraud an issue? I mean, is this something that is prevalent? Can you give us some information about that?
Sure. Sure. That's a great question. And it is. And it's becoming more prevalent. It's an interesting question. I first had my first experience with title fraud. It tried to happen to my elderly mother all the way back in 2014. That's where I got this idea back when I was in a different job and a different part of my career. It is a thing. And it's unfortunate in this day and age that people would do things like this, but it is alive. It's not particularly difficult. It's not particularly complicated, and it's not particularly expensive to execute as a fraudster. So it is a thing, and currently, you could really do one of three things. You could do nothing and just say, "I hope that doesn't happen to me," and I think that's probably the vast majority of property owners are probably in that place. The second is in the last 5 or 10 years, people have began to monitor their title. There's many services out there that will monitor your title, keep an eye on your title, largely using AI to see if something got recorded, and they'll give you an alert. You know, did you just intend to take out a mortgage on your property? And if they did, they'll say, yeah, that was me, or no. I don't know what that is. And it's a reactive notice that something may have happened that you need to be concerned about so you can take action. Our view is proactive. I think monitoring your title is better than doing nothing. But our view is let's just freeze it up in the public records and let the public know that we have no intent to change our title without first releasing that notice of title freeze. So to answer your question, it is a thing, and it's becoming more and more prevalent. If you have a chance to get to our website, we've got a news drop down that has many, many examples of how it's happening and where it's happening.
Okay, Kurt, but I'm just dying to know. So what happened to your mother? Can you tell us that whole story?
Sure, yeah. So my mother, my father passed away probably 20 years, 25 years before my mom passed away. So she's living alone. She had some pretty difficult medical experiences. Was in the hospital for quite some period of time, some pretty dramatic surgeries and recoveries. And she's just getting older. She's getting more forgetful. But we got her out of the hospital, got her into her home. Like most people, they just want to go home, and she just really, really wanted to go home. So we get her home, and one Saturday, I went to check on her, and I pulled up to her house, and there's some guy on the porch, and he's arguing with her on the porch, and I'm like, well, what is this clown doing? So I, interceded, got him out of there, and mom's in tears, and she's like, well, this guy says I'm selling my house to him, and I'm like, no, mom, you're not selling your house to this guy. And this guy was pretty offensive, big guy, and it was intimidating to me, let alone to my mom. But I got him out of there. And at the time, I was working in the energy industry with a ton of lean into public records, researching public records, filing documents in public records. I passed the story along to our counsel at the company I was working with. He said, oh, yeah, that happens. People try to take advantage of the elder. They try to get them to sign deeds. And sometimes they even just prepare a deed and they just file it on their own accord. To quickly get through that long story, I was working in the county, where my mom's property was located. I just alerted the clerks at the office there. I said, if someone comes in here, trying to record a deed, and I gave them my mom's name, in this property address, let me know. And sure enough, the guy showed up a few days later and tried to present a false deed, a fraudulent deed, and record that, and they stopped it. So, That's 2014. Flash forward 11 years later, I believe the risk and the interactions of these types of things is only growing. It's back in those days, you really had to go to a clerk and recorder's office and present things in person. Now you can do it online. It's just making it easier for everyone to try to take these actions. So that's
the story. What happened to the guy? Did they just let him go? They didn't try to.
No, again, big guy, and he stomped off. He grabbed the papers and stomped off, and so we diverted the attack. But there was really nothing we could do to try to.
So he went and did it to somebody else.
Yeah, but don't people have title insurance? Doesn't that cover the situation? I mean, it's like we spend a fortune.
Yeah.
For title insurance, with the mortgage and all that.
That's a great question. And you have to be careful what type of insurance you're getting. When you close on a property and the title insurance. The policy you get when you're closing on property is to protect the buyer from anything from the point of sale all the way back. So if there was something missed in the title review leading up to the closing, maybe they missed a release of mortgage or they missed a lien or something, the buyer is insured against any claims that might come forward there. And that's going to fall into the title company's basket of cleanup. But generally speaking, it's not common to insure against risk going forward. So from the point of taking possession of the property forward, that is not a very common place to place insurance. I believe it's available. It's just not very common. But if you're going to rely on what I just described with my mom, her title policy when she purchased that property would have done nothing to cure this.
Got it. Wow. So what do you do? I mean, how do people implement this process?
So we try to make it as simple as possible. If someone is interested in freezing their title, they can reach out to us, confirm that we're active and available in the state where they live. It's a little bit of a slog to get our documents considered on a state by state basis. We're in that process of pushing it through to get into all 50 states. Currently, we're in 8 states. and just kind of building and testing our systems and our processes. But if someone's interested in freezing their title, they reach out online through the website, reach out to an agent, to the office, and we'll walk you through how to apply for a notice of title freeze or for our other document, which speaks to preventing squatters. So it's we try to make that process pretty easy.
So it's Moat Title Security. So do you have any success stories where somebody said, wow, somebody tried to steal my house and this stopped it?
We haven't yet, but I will tell you, we've had cases where people have frozen their title and then they essentially just forget that they froze their title, and they'll apply for a second mortgage and it'll get stopped when the title company that is charged with closing their mortgage bumps into this notice of title freeze. They'll read it and they'll say, well, we can't close because, you know, you've frozen your title. So you're going to need to release your title freeze before we can go forward with the closing. So that's very reassuring to us that it lives where it matters in the public records, and it's serving the purpose that it's intended to do, which is stop things from moving forward. But to answer your question, we've not had anyone have a full on title attack against a property that has a notice of title freeze yet. Hopefully, okay. We don't.
Well, maybe they see the title freeze and walk on to the next
one. Yeah. That's again, I spoke to that a little earlier. Deterrence is our primary win. Secondary win is use it to fight back.
Got it. Shaker, do you have any comments or questions for Kurt?
I lived it.
No.
No, in the sense. So I used to work for Walt Disney Company. And so my wife actually spent all her energy trying to rebuild our house in Valencia, California, like, you know, it's like Santa Clarita area. And so then I had to move for my job, like when I started with Walmart. And so I came to the Bay Area, and so we did not want to sell the house, and we said, like, you know, let's rent it out. And like, so we had like one very good like renter. Never a problem, always on time, greatest, like very nice guy. And they kept the house like as though it was theirs. Like very nice man. Okay. And then he ended up buying a house, and like, you know, we brought in the next set of, like, you know, renters. And then COVID happens. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then people, like, you know, can just like make up things along the way saying, if I'm not like able to pay, you can basically just not pay, defer the payment. Okay. And so the tenant that I had, like, would literally not pay the rent, but she would keep buying cars.
That's not good.
So this is like the ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my whole life. And then basically, like, you know, we're trying to get her off, like we're trying to evict her and all that stuff. It goes on and on and on and on. And then, like, luckily, like, you know, one of my friends said, like, you know, I know this amazing lawyer, Dennis Block. You know, he's based in LA. And he said, like, you know, he's an eviction specialist. You should go talk to him. And so we went and talked to him, and he was able to, like, you know, get a notice, get her to evict. But boy, like, you know, that whole experience of, like, you know, it was not so much that, like, someone encroached into your property. When you know that, like, my wife literally all the living daylights trying to actually build the house she wanted to live in.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. All the care she put in, all the, like, she picked out every little, like, small detail in the house. And someone comes and squats.
Jeez.
Yeah.
The intention was to basically skirt the system.
Yeah.
And yeah. While you want to, like, basically, like, think that the world is really, like, made of, like, good people, sometimes people's intentions are not well placed, and you always have to protect yourself against those eventualities.
Yeah. So did you get them out?
We got them out, like, and, like, you know, like, so the obviously what they the mistake they did, like, you know, because we did not renew their lease and they did not pay us. Essentially, they had, like, you know, they were served a notice of, like, you know, 30 days to, like, to leave the house. They just disregarded it, thinking that I could not. And then the cops showed up and then got them evicted completely.
Oh, wow. Well, you were lucky, I guess, because I've
I'm
heard
like
lots.
super lucky.
Yeah, I've heard lots of cases
We've
where
heard
they
lots
can't
of
do
cases.
anything.
But you know, there's something fundamental about property, houses, and people live in those, right? So, and it's a so there's a lot of law around though, you know, those situations. And sounds to me like your title freeze is a great idea.
Yeah, I think
It's a
so too.
fantastic idea. And like, you know, like, and like, what are the odds that I would be on this podcast with you all? Kurt talks about like title freeze, and I am the victim of title freeze, or
I
about
know
to be
that
the
gets
victim
kind of
of
weird.
No.
So the angels are working in our
The
favor, I
angels
would
are also
say.
working for me.
It's interesting. I'll jump in here. You know, freezing your title is we believe the strongest, most proactive defense to someone attempting to harm the title to your house, steal the equity to your house, perhaps record a deed and then try to quickly resell your house and get a bunch of earnest money deposits. There's any number of ways they can do that. But the other product we offer is a notice of occupancy, and that speaks heavily to protecting what Shaker just described. What that document does is says, hey, look, and my wife and I have some rental properties, and we certainly use this. Look, I own this property. I'm worried about this type of fraud. Whether I occupy this property or not, there's just not going to be any tenant in this property, full stop. And if anyone is ever found to be in the property, they have no right to be there because I'm saying that that's not my intent for this property, and I'm making that a public record. And then we have what we call a little side ramp for that is if I do elect to have a tenant there, I will record a notice of property lease. It'll identify the one party that is allowed to be in that property as long as they you know, live up to their property lease and the terms and conditions of that. But other than that, if anyone else ever shows up in the property, they're there illegally. They've trespassed and they're unauthorized occupants of my property. And speaking a little bit to what Shaker just went through, if someone shows up in your property and takes over, it's vacant property or a second home are good targets. If they just suddenly show up, your natural inclination is to call the authorities and say, "Hey, look, I own this property. Someone's in there. Get them out." You know, the perpetrator is gonna spin that. When a police officer shows up or sheriff's deputy, they're there to investigate crime, and the perpetrator is gonna spin that to, "Oh no, Kurt said it would be fine if I live here, if I just do some handyman work, and he said we don't need a written lease. He says it's fine. Look, I got the keys, I got the garage door open, everything's good." They want to spin that quickly to a civil dispute between the two parties, so the police can't take action. So we believe our notice of occupancy will unravel that story quickly, because you can present that to the local authorities and say, "Look, you know, I was worried about this. It's happening. The only way that party could have been in there is if I would have recorded a notice of property lease. And guess what? There is not one of those recorded, so they're in there. I'm claiming they're in there as squatters. Get them out." It's a new product. We don't have any experience with someone using a notice of occupancy and then having this happen, but we believe it'll definitely benefit a property owner for having that in place in the event that they do encounter a squatter.
Well,
And
thank you.
it really depends on the state as well.
That's
Like, you
right.
know,
That's
you're
right.
actually operating this because it could be a pro renter and a pro owner depending on the state.
That's
And
right.
in that case, like, you know, this is even more important, a protection to have.
That's right. That's right. You're exactly right, Shaker. Spot on. There are states that are very pro property owner and will lean into property owner rights. And then there are states that are the opposite. They're more pro renters, and they'll give renters, even renters that don't have good evidence that they're a legitimate renter, they'll give them a lot of leeway to stay there. And the problem is, if someone does, and we've got any number of articles on our website, if someone does take over your property, number one, they're not going to be a good tenant. They're not going to take care of the place. They're not going to treat it nicely. They're going to tear it apart. So if it takes you 3 to 6 months to get them out, when they do get them out, your property's probably going to be very well damaged, and you've got a lot of repairs to do to get it fixed up. So We believe this is a pretty cost-effective way of A, preventing it, and B, defending it if it does come against you.
Well, I agree because there have been lots of reports of this kind of stuff in the news. So, again, this is Kurt Moore with Moat, MOAT, Title Security. And thank you, Kurt. And
You
people can
bet.
find your website by typing in Moat Title Security. Is that
That's
right?
right. That's right.
Okay, great.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, our studio assistant Rissacat Busari, and our social media powerhouse Carolina Tabares. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.